In these days following Easter, we call this period Eastertide, and it goes for 50 days. And the word 50 in Greek is pente, and that's where we get the word Pentecost from, 50 days after Easter. And it's at that time that we celebrate, in 2 weeks' time, the giving of the Holy Spirit. And I know we've got confirmation candidates here as well this morning, and that will be explained fuller, and they will experience that more fully at their confirmation. But some of you might be thinking, yes, well, we went through the whole Easter experience. Well, why now are we backtracking, as it were, in John's Gospel and going over the whole thing again? Because this conversation in today's Gospel was one that Jesus had after the Last Supper and just before he was taken and condemned to death from the Garden of Gethsemane. So some of you might be thinking, oh, we seem to be going backwards and forwards. Can we just get on with it? Well, John's Gospel was written many, many years after the other Gospels and after the events themselves took place. So Mark and Matthew and Luke, their recording of the events of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension and the sending of the Holy Spirit were much more immediate, whereas John's were a lot more interpretive, if you like, because it was written quite a long time later and there weren't many people around when John wrote his gospel who actually witnessed the things that Jesus said and did. But those who were around, who formed the body of his early church, they remembered those things that were said and done. And so what we have today in John's Gospel there, at this Easter part of the Easter tide, is Jesus talking very, very intimately, very closely to his disciples. Now, the Last Supper conversations we've just heard over the last couple of weeks were Jesus saying, I'm leaving you. And today he says, I'm not only leaving you, but I'm going to be sending you, he calls it an advocate or a paraclete, I'm going to be sending you the Holy Spirit to be your guard and your guide. Take note, confirmation candidates. But for First Communion candidates, today's conversation is very important as well. When we think about leaving, now we all know that Jesus was about 30 years of age. He had 3 years with his disciples and he gave them constant instructions. And then the doors were closing for him. And so he's trying to prepare those whom he loved, those who were closest to him, he's trying to prepare them for his leaving, his departure. Now, when I look at leaving through the course of our life, and you examine leaving, that whole idea of leaving in your life, there are several ways of looking at it. So firstly, I hope there isn't, but there may be people here who were, as an infant, as a little tiny baby, left on the steps of, say, an orphanage. It happened in your grandparents' time. Little children, the mother could not raise them, she felt, and left them at an orphanage, in a little basket perhaps, at the doorstep, and then rang the doorbell and ran away and left that little child there. And that child would then be raised by the nurturing love and care of an orphanage, or perhaps another family, or a hospital, and then moved on. That leaving, that what that mother did, that is abandonment. I think you understand that. That is a total cutting off, as it were, abandonment. Jesus was not abandoning his disciples. Let's get that clearly between the gaps in here. He was not abandoning them. Another kind of leaving might be, say there's a boy and a girl and they form a nice relationship and eventually it moves into getting a little bit of ice on the finger, they get engaged. And then for whatever reason, one of them gets a better offer and calls off the whole wedding thing. Now, that's what we would call rejection. It's leaving, but it's rejection. And so some of us will know the pain of rejection. Jesus was not rejecting the disciples. So you can discard that kind of leaving when we talk about Jesus leaving. There's another kind of leaving that many of us have gone through, probably most of us as adults, where, say, we leave home in order to start study or start a new work career. We leave the confines of where what we would call home, and we have to do that because it's the right thing to do for my betterment, to help me improve my life. So we leave that way. It's not abandonment and it's not rejection. It's leaving for a good reason. That is part of what Jesus was doing with the disciples when we talk about his leaving. It was part of it, not the fullness of it, but part of it. Why was it for his benefit? Because, as he says, I am returning to my Father and your Father. He then says, I will be with you. Now, this fourth kind of leaving, he's going to be moving away from them, but he is sending a replacement, as it were. That's not a good word, but he's sending someone else to be with them, the Spirit. And so that is a very complete leaving. That is the leaving that we're talking about when Jesus has this conversation through John's Gospel about leaving the disciples. I am not rejecting, I am not abandoning you. I'm not going to do this just for my sake. I am doing this for our sake. This must be done. And that draws us into the whole leaving conversation for our sake. Now, there are two parts with this, and this is where our first communion candidates come into it. The first part is that Jesus is communicating. He is talking to the disciples and giving them a guarantee. The guarantee is, in his conversation, I will be with you, and you will be with me. My goodness, that's a big yawn. You will be with me. So there is communication, but when he says, you will be with me, that's our Eucharist. I am giving you my body and blood. So that communication is now becoming communion. And when it happens in this context, like we do in the church setting with the community, see all these C-O-M-M words that are coming up? Communication, community, communion. When we get those, that is why we call this Holy Communion. So Jesus is basically saying to his disciples, as you guys will share today and our whole community will share with, is certainly, I will not be here. You will not see my blue eyes and dark hair and olive skin, but I am going to be in you. I am in communion with you. And as you've heard me say to some of the adults many times, when I come into you in communion, you become me. And your role in life, as little people and as big people, is to take this communication and this communion, this oneness, into the world. That is what communion is. And it is holy communion because it happens in this place, in this way, at this time, constantly. It is not a one-off event. It is a life-giving event. Our task in receiving that communion is therefore to give life as well. And it's as simple as that. When Jesus leaves, he leaves so that the fullness of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit may be in us. And we, like those disciples, can then be invigorated. We can have our ears and our eyes and all of our senses opened to communicate that to the world. It doesn't require everybody to become a priest or to be married or to become a religious sister or to remain single. There is a role for everybody because communion, your communion, is inclusive, not exclusive. It's a beautiful thing to remember. And so whilst the disciples at that time may have found it hard to get their head around, for us 2020 plus years later, it finally starts to dawn on us. And as adults, we need to be reminded. And it is through the instrument and the dedication of the parents, with our First Communion candidates, that we as adults are actually reminded what this is all about. Some of us may remember our First Communion day, some of us may not. But it is an opportunity for us to exercise that inclusiveness where we become one with Christ, he becomes one with us. We take that union into the community. COMM, it is always about dialogue. It is always about a conversation, an encounter. How do we do that in a challenging world? Go back to the first reading and remember those two words, how we do it. We do it with respect and we do it with courtesy. Respect and courtesy. In 2023, we should not have to be reminded how to be respectful and courtesy in any of our dialogues, let alone with those who may not understand why we want and why we as a community need Holy Communion.